Oscar Piastri's future is in the headlines again. And this time it's with Red Bull. Okay. I know it could be silly season, but you know what? I'm going to be honest with you. I'm not going to get poetic over this. Although this does remind me of early 90s Ferrari. This is a topic worth mulling over, I reckon. We all did it with Lando going to Red Bull for ages, right? I mean, even I did. So for the sake of papaya rules, we've only got to be fair. And of course, there is a version of this story that writes itself. Mark Webber, Red Bull through and through, guiding his protege back to the team where it all began. The time when Christian Horner discovered Oscar Piastri's potential when he was but a mere junior, when he was partaking in practices with Arden Motorsport, which is where Christian Horner hailed from. And ever since then, he's been championing the Australia for one day coming to his team should it arise. It even got to the edit of Drive to Survive, where if he was asked who he would pick, he just said one word, Oscar. So yes, even the casual F1 fans know how much Horner likes Oscar. And yes, the poetry of this potential idea is rather compelling. I find it, as somebody who really loves storytelling, something of an inspirational tale. Hell, you might even find it one day on AO3. But yes, the prospect of a homecoming, harking back to that photo of a young Oscar outside the Red Bull Technology Center, the caption, one day, it's a great story. I love it. And it's probably not the reason why any of that would happen. Hate to burst your bubble there, chums. Look, he may be my boy, and I wish to see him do well and flourish as a potential team leader. In fact, many F1 neutrals would love to see Oscar Piastri escape the clutches of McLaren and seek out an opportunity in Formula 1 as his own man, because he's only in his mid-20s. He's got a long time in Formula 1 left to him, maybe upwards of a decade. But reality is not poetic, at least not all the time, as we all know too well at the moment. But in this case, Webber's history at Red Bull is misguided, because he wasn't some big political figure or anything like that. He was only a driver, a long-term driver for that team. He embedded himself in rather well at Milton Keynes, but nevertheless, he was ultimately subservient to the likes of Sebastian Vettel, somebody who was grown within the Red Bull fold with a little help from BMW, but nevertheless, he was a junior talent, whereas with Mark, he came in during his career, an outsider. And besides, Webber's thinking of a Red Bull whose era is now completely gone. And his own time with Red Bull didn't exactly end at the best of terms either. Yes, that rather wholesome shot of him without helmet at Brazil 2013 was rather compelling, but it was a final act of defiance at a time when he felt that he was being railed against by the people within. Sort of a little snippet to what Oscar may have felt internally in 2025. And having Mark Webber, who actually lived through that 12 years previously, right behind you and probably breathing down the neck of Zak Brown, was not going to help try Oscar maybe calm down. We all thought it might have been a motivator, it might have actually been an inhibitor. But anyway, Horner's not there, Marco's not there, Newey isn't there. The institutional memory that made Webber's time there meaningful has been dismantled by scandal and corporate fear paralysis. The rebellious aura of Red Bull Racing is no more, and what's left in its place is being rebuilt from scratch with Lauren Mekies and a Ford-badged power unit, and nothing remotely looking like a title campaign. So the romantic version of this story doesn't explain why Piastri would leave a championship-winning team like McLaren and walk into that. Because let's be honest with ourselves, even though Oscar is finding it very hard to make a claim for number one status, he is having a rather good time at McLaren, knocking on the door of double figures victories, not that far off one of the best from Australia, not that far off being the first Australian champion since Alan Jones. And even though they're not the fastest of teams right now, they're not that far behind. They are capable of podium finishes. They may, after a couple of upgrades, be capable of victories. And Oscar made a very strong case in Suzuka, albeit with weaker machinery. So for him and the team, it wasn't a bad recovery after having two black eyes sustained from power unit gremlins. And whilst the fairy tale interpretation of Piastri to Red Bull wouldn't explain why he would actually move there, the structural version, the more practical version, might do. And I think it starts from a quote not from Piastri, not from Webber, and not from a journalist. No, I believe this all starts from a quote that Max Verstappen said, and one that I covered not that long ago, which I thought was very insightful. And now, given where we are, it might have yet another meaning. At the start of the year, Max was asked a simple question. Would he have moved over for his teammate at Monza 2025 the way Piastri did? His answer to Swiss publication Blick was that he would definitely not. That if you did with no just cause, you would sell your soul. His take then went on to muse that if you allowed wiggle room, the team could then be given carte blanche to do what it wants with you. And he reminds everybody, does Max, that Oscar was in the middle of a title fight. No, leading the title by a handy margin. Max's gap to him, triple figures. So for those of you thinking that he was attacking Oscar's character by saying he was selling his very soul by complying to McLaren, you're wrong. The Dutchman is not coming from a place where he absolutely despises the Australian. Far from it. I think he respects Oscar Piastri more than most drivers on the grid. I take you back, for example, to Spa 2023, the sprint, where I was absolutely blown away by the potential of Piastri with the up-and-coming MCL60 against the heft of the RB19. Yes, the race wasn't much cop for Oscar, but the sprint? Oh, that put him on the map. Piastri pushed Verstappen hard enough to leave a genuine impression, one of his first F1 podiums, and earned against the most dominant car of that era. He finished 6 seconds back, but it didn't matter. An impression was made. Fast forward 2 years later to the same sprint, and that impression had become something deeper. Cat and mouse for 15 laps, 7 tenths behind Verstappen, neither driver conceding a single thing. And when it ended, Verstappen held off a faster car on raw racecraft alone. And he knew exactly what he'd held off. And it certainly helped that Oscar went on to win the Grand Prix the following day. And you know what? I've never seen the two of them exchange barbs in a malicious way throughout their time racing together. I still remember that one comment Max made where he immediately clarified, not Oscar. That was certainly a quip that was worth recalling. I recall Abu Dhabi 2024 when he and Piastri collided and Max felt immediately bad and had no intentions of causing a collision and realized that did muck up Oscar's race. I seriously believe he does value Piastri. He sees a lot of himself in the Australian. With that blip quote, he's probably looking at someone who reflects similar qualities to him. Somebody who's uncompromising, fast, politically sharp, and being asked to wait his turn. And not to mention the actual cost of what it would ensue and what price he would not be prepared to pay. Because here's the thing about Monza 2025 that gets buried underneath the basic controversy, and I know that you and many McLaren fans don't want to talk about Monza 2025, but McLaren in recent times has had a history of having drama at that circuit going back to 2023. Lando and Oscar collided at turn one nearly. Then in Monza 2024, they saved their brouhaha to the second chicane through papaya rules. 2025, there's a drama going into turn one, albeit with team orders. It wouldn't surprise me at all if we get similar dramatics again this year. And it goes further beyond what happened in the pit stops and McLaren trying to correct a mistake. Piastri yielded, and he yielded relatively quickly, certainly far quicker than Lando yielded in Hungary 2024. Once a team knows you will move over with very little difficulty, you've permanently changed the terms of engagement with them. Sure, you get kudos from the bosses and maybe the hope of good karma in the future, but it's just that at the time until it happens. Hope. And what's more likely to go down is that every ambiguous call after that carries a subtext. Every strategic decision lands slightly differently when everyone in the garage already knows the answer. Piastri himself admitted the instruction affected him psychologically going into Baku. You know, he crashed in qualifying, he jumped the start, and then in a rush to try and make up positions, he crashed again on the first lap. A far cry from what he was able to do in 2024, the previous year, where he and Charles Leclerc were having dramatic balletics going around every single corner. It was one of the best races I'd seen in a long time, really class wheel-to-wheel racing between the two of them. And Piastri himself said the victory in Azerbaijan actually meant a lot more to him than his first win in Budapest. And a title that should have been 37 points was cut down to 31, because fortunately for him, Lando had a meal of it as well in Azerbaijan. And it all unraveled from there, with Verstappen coming within 2 points of the championship itself and the Monza move itself providing Lando Norris's victory, the point swing going in the Brits' favours. Would he have actually been happier if Max won the championship? I mean, we'll never know. Oscar will never let us know, but it's just something of a bit of a foam of thought for me. And Verstappen was watching every single moment of that, and in January of this year, he just said, well, that's the result of everything. You sell your soul, and it ultimately costs you everything. You just make that move, and everything changes. And yes, whilst McLaren can justify Norris did go on to win the World Championship, it doesn't cheapen Verstappen's take on the situation one bit. So the question shouldn't be about Piastri leaving McLaren because he felt their conduct and their practices were unjust. but instead it should be about whether or not the conditions that went around 2025 were either structural, fundamental, or circumstantial. And perhaps when Giampiero Lambiase has his first day within the McLaren Technology Center, he might then actually get the answer and then decide what he wants to do next. Let's be clear here. GP isn't about to become Piastri's race engineer or Norris's. Instead, GP is becoming the chief racing officer of McLaren, overseeing race operations for the entire team. But here's the gut punch, folks. As I said in my video over the weekend, McLaren now has Rob Marshall, Will Courtney, Lambiase, all on their payroll, or soon to be on their payroll. Three of the most senior operational figures from Red Bull's dominant era sitting under one roof. Brown's version of Red Bull's culture without the toxicity. Because Marshall, he was perfect and instrumental in designing the Red Bull cars that went on to win titles from the engineering perspective, realizing Adrian Newey's designs. Courtney ran the sporting side of things, and Lambiase was the voice in Verstappen's ear for now a decade and maybe 1 year more. You don't build that kind of infrastructure without a plan that justifies it. There is something going on here. Zach was not choosing random people to bring to his party. He brought these people because they would enhance his existing party. And the biggest plan, I think, that would justify the whole thing, that in the fullness of time, Verstappen joins McLaren. Now, not necessarily through the Formula One team. There is certainly an entire possibility that Max Verstappen may decide to partake in McLaren's soon-to-be-debuting World Endurance efforts. They're coming around in 2027. They're looking for a driver to help partner Richard Verschoor. But supposing he does become a McLaren Formula One driver in a year or two, who does pay the price there? It's not going to be Lando. He's a world champion, and Brown's relationship with him? Do I need to explain it anymore? In comparison, Zach's relationship with Piastri has been described by many as slightly strained. Cordial, yes, and surely grateful that the Australian towed the party line without causing problems, or at least too many problems. And something Oscar probably hopes gets rewarded this year, should his teammates struggle with the new regs. But despite that, the answer to who moves is not complicated. I mean, it certainly doesn't help that Lando's maintained that papaya rules, in his view, never really existed as the way we all thought they did. Those rules might have been the limiting factor of any sort of Piastri era forming within McLaren. Yes, he would certainly be a good foil to Lando Norris and be an elite driver in of his own, so that means McLaren can claim they have two young, fiery elite drivers, but there is still a pecking order. In the sense, there is an emotional pecking order, because Lando's been around that team for nearly a decade at this point. They are going to lean toward the Brit because they've been around the block with him, whereas with Piastri, he came in at a different time. And I think Webber's lack of presence within the McLaren garage is one of the most honest tells going right now. Even though Oscar's been quick to dismiss its significance, the fact is, though, is that Mark was present at virtually every Grand Prix for 2 years. Visibly, in McLaren hospitality, there for every meaningful weekend and every big drama. This year, he's nowhere. No gentle transition. He's just pretty much gone. Sure, you can read that as a personal choice, or you can read it as a manager who's already looking elsewhere and needs to use his time wisely. Whose time is maybe better spent scouting out potential deals for his boy's next journey and phase in Formula One, rather than acting as a figurative bodyguard in the midst of Zach Brown, because let's be real, Oscar Piastri may be young, but he's going into his fourth season of Formula One. He can look after himself. And Ralf Schumacher did say that he probably got himself into a tight spot on multiple occasions within the McLaren garage and probably made weekends even tougher for Piastri to endure. In fact, he probably drove his driver more crazy than actually aided him. And sure, Ralf Schumacher does say some rather ridiculous things on occasion, but on this occasion, I think that observation is fair and worth considering. But Webber's real value in the story is that I think he can recognize when a team is going through an identity crisis and is rapidly trying to change and redefine said identity. All in the midst of political architecture, in that simply put, there really isn't any within Red Bull at the moment, aside from the Verstappen camp, and he may not be around much longer. He may also understand where the leverage sits within the organization and what commitments a driver needs before the contract reaches any sort of table of worth. We've seen plenty of rumors of Oscar leaving for another team. I even recalled covering one of those rumours of him going to Ferrari, which turned out to be bogus, but still rather interesting of a thought experiment. This latest trend is that he goes to Red Bull. But if that were to happen, the version of Red Bull Racing that Piastri would be joining does not exist yet. I believe that version that he might be signing up for is currently under construction. The driver who will commit to that sort of environment needs a manager who knows the questions that they need to ask said team in order to know whether or not it's a worthwhile move to break away from McLaren and not seek out a contract extension, which may come sometime next year. And for Lando, sometime maybe this year. It would certainly be surprising if we get neither of them in the next 12 months. That's the version of Webber that really counts here and will be really important for Oscar Piastri at this time. Not the romantic version and him being the bastion of Red Bull Racing and bringing Oscar into the fold. No, it's going to be the practical one. A manager being a manager rather than a hype man. Now, again, I must remind you, I am not saying Red Bull is going to pull off a coup and get Oscar Piastri for 2027, and certainly not in a mid-season swap this year. No, this is further down the line. This is going to be a slow burner, because Red Bull is in a far worse spot in every single measure going than McLaren right now. Oscar would be foolish to abandon McLaren right now. Because the RB22, with the way it is right now, it's in the firing line with Haas's and Alpine's at the moment. Just dwell on that for a moment. There's internal disagreement over the technical direction under Pierre Vacher, who's designing a Red Bull car without Newey's foundational influence for the first time in the team's modern history. Pierre can't rely on the groundwork of the RB18 or the utter brilliance of the 19, and the designer can't point the finger at Red Bull 4 powertrains because, according to many studies, they actually have the second fastest internal combustion engine going. They actually produced a good unit that entire operation, which in turn might actually impede them when it comes to the ADUO. They won't benefit as much as Ferrari or Audi or even Honda. And according to pundits across the paddock, the rebuild timeline also of Red Bull would be around 2 to 3 years before they're genuinely competitive again. If it happens sooner, cool, but if not, 2028 is the conversation we'd be having at the earliest for Piastri. And only then if Verstappen's release clause triggers and he decides to leave, and Red Bull shows clear signs of life in a post-Verstappen world. Not unlike what Mercedes has gone through in their post-Hamilton existence. They have come out the other side and are competitive again, albeit through some rather, politically motivated means, as I've been describing to you with Toto in recent times. The timing counts for a lot more than people are giving it credit for, and a recent revelation from former team principal of Ferrari, Jean Todt, may actually help me out here in explaining why Piastri might make a move in a couple of years, not right now. Jean recently revealed to the High Performance Podcast that he himself wanted Ayrton Senna for his team in 1994, but Ferrari couldn't accommodate him that year. The timing just didn't work. Senna went to Williams instead, and well, what happened happened. Now, I'm going to make a separate video about this revelation because it's too good of a tidbit to just keep to one segment within this video, so do subscribe to the channel for when that video drops in the not-too-distant future. Anyway, when the circumstances did change, Michael Schumacher became available in 1995, and by the time we got to the Monaco Grand Prix, Todt and Schumacher negotiated, and they therefore had a big deal to announce at the end of the Benetton contract that he would then go on to Ferrari for 1996. 96 was the year that Todt believed would be the year where Ferrari could finally begin to turn itself around. And in fact, he was actually, Jean, throwing shade at Alesi and Berger. What then followed was the most dominant driver-team partnership the sport had ever seen, and Red Bull, they need that. They really do. They don't need a driver who's going to benefit from someone else's groundwork, as in somebody who's going to milk all of the stuff that Verstappen did, no. But they need a driver who's willing to commit themselves to rebuilding the structure and make it worth inheriting. Because every other destination that's been floated with Piastri is off the bedrock of somebody else's efforts. Like, at Ferrari, Piastri would benefit from all of the groundwork that Leclerc and Hamilton have provided the team. They're not exactly bad drivers now, are they? Aston Martin? I mean, what kind of situation is that? Yes, they do have the ingredients, but do they have the cooks producing a great meal and a great dish for a driver to imbibe and consume? No, they don't. And you want me to think that Mercedes would take him in? Toto Wolff would take him in? Come off it. Red Bull, if timed correctly, could provide Oscar Piastri the opportunity to redefine his Formula One career, possibly for the better. As well as quite the huge statement, but it would come with a real cost, and the people who may end up suffering the most out of it aren't exactly the ones who have a lot of clout within the sport at the moment, or in some cases, aren't even in the sport at all. Isaac Hadjar, he's currently Max's teammate, learning on the job under genuinely brutal conditions and doing everything Red Bull asks of him and not exactly disgracing himself either. Liam Lawson's at Racing Bulls, still rebuilding a reputation after a difficult stint in the senior seat, but doing so with commendable results which are being woefully overlooked by the media. Then, of course, there's Arvid Lindblad, the Rookie of the Year. Him barely started, but already making waves and scoring points. Then in Formula 2, Nicholas Solov, Red Bull's only F2 junior and runner-up in F3 last year. Nicholas Solov could be the first Red Bull junior to win a Formula 2 title, or certainly be in contention just in the same way that Hadjar was, only for reliability and team error issues to then blight his campaign and Bortoleto took it. And most importantly, every single one of those drivers has been told implicitly, as in, you just get the idea, that their work within that junior team will lead somewhere in the end. A spot at Racing Bulls, and maybe a chance at the big one. That loyalty to the programme will earn them the seat. But if Piastri comes in from the outside, the first outsider within Red Bull Racing since Sergio Perez, that completely upsets the dynamic. The message to the entire career ladder within the junior team would be immediate and it would be corrosive. And trust me, I know me my ladders. One potential reality is that Hadjar gets shuffled sideways. His time as Red Bull's leader would have to wait, or it may never happen, depending if Oscar remains with the team for a while. Lawson's future gets murkier and Lindblad has to wait a little longer for promotion, or has to push even harder to shove Isak out and could compromise the way he looks to the media. As for Solov, he may have to do the maths on the queue in front of him and maybe reconsider his options or run the risk of being yet another F2 champion who doesn't get an F1 seat immediately and has to remain in limbo. So yes, for those three drivers, it would certainly put an absolute dampener on their prospects, especially with the juicy prospect of Max Verstappen leaving and completely changing their future with the team. And none of them can exactly say that they were warned because, well, Yuki Tsunoda has already showed them how exactly this goes. Tsunoda gave Red Bull 5 years. He got the plum of sitting next to Max Verstappen, the hardest seat on the grid, amidst the changing of the guard regarding the second seat curse, and he paid the price for it. He did everything the program required of him, and he's now a reserve driver. Granted, that is a safer outcome than what might have happened if Christian Horner was still knocking around. If he was still knocking around, Tsunoda would not be there at all. But not even Mekis, who really values Yuki's efforts, could actually keep him in the main seat for 2026. We all thought that there might have been a chance, given all of the circumstances with the RB21 and the priority to Max and Max alone, but it still wasn't enough to fend off Isak. At the moment, Tsunoda's camp's trying to build a ticket for either Haas or Alpine for 2027. There are some good rumblings there, especially since he is not a Honda driver anymore. And this is all just to get a seat back in a grid that he'd already earned a spot on. So yes, the Academy promise does have plenty of caveats that if an outside signing comes along, which is rather compelling, be it for talent or maybe profit, that could easily put a brake on your own progress. The queue would be reshuffled, their name placed further backwards on the pecking order than it was this time yesterday. And before we get to what all of this says about McLaren, if you haven't watched the Lambiase piece yet, now's the time. The full political picture of what's happening at Red Bull makes this conversation all the richer. McLaren, under Brown, built Piastri. They took him in after Alpine played silly buggers with his and Alonso's contract in 2022. They signed him long-term twice, as well as handing him the fastest car on the grid for 2 seasons in a row, and still managed to plant a seed that grew into a situation where one of the most talented drivers on the grid right now is being discussed in terms of exits. This is not a situation where it was back in the day where you had David Coulthard and Mika Hakkinen. Nobody thought that those two were going to be broken apart. They were inseparable. They're still inseparable to this day. And Piastri said himself that papaya rules caused headaches within the team that needn't have happened. And I wouldn't call that him being ungrateful for the team, not one bit. I just think he's rendering a simple verdict because it certainly did cause headaches for the team in many respects, and certainly when it came to their social media team. If you're part of the McLaren PR department and you're watching this video, I feel your pain. But the verdict Oscar gave was one on how McLaren managed the most important internal relationship they had going and on what it might cost when you ask someone to move over in the middle of a title fight and tell yourself it was fair. On what you lose when a driver decides without drama that his soul is worth more than your rules. Once Piastri believes the game he's playing with Woking is no longer fair, that'll be the day he moves on. And Verstappen may have told us this was coming in that Blick article. Most people would have read that as just simple shade, but I didn't. It was the most accurate summation of Oscar Piastri's situation at McLaren through 2025 that anyone had produced throughout the entire winter. And it came from a driver. Sell your soul one time and the team owns every single negotiation after that. The only question is now whether or not Red Bull can pull its act together and make the question worth it in time for 2028, that maybe it could be a place for Piastri to call home and lead. The clock is ticking there, as is the clock is ticking on you to click on this video to continue the ladder action. So I'll see you over there.